short term. Tomorrow night is where it all kicks off for El Tri. Big, big game for Mexico. And I'm delighted to say that we are ready for our guest for today. On the airwaves, ready and waiting to chat with us, here to join us once again about all things El Tri. Will Mexico make it past New Zealand? One person has the answer for us, and hopefully she'll be able to give it to us. It's Kim Tate joining us once again here on World Football Daily. Kim, pleasure to have you back on the show. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Very well indeed.
It's a pretty heavy intro there.
Well, you know, we've got to give you the big up, you know? Got to make sure people know exactly who they're dealing with. They're dealing with the experts here on World Football Daily, and you need to enlighten us about whether Mexico's fortunes are going to change against New Zealand, because on paper, historically, everything sides with Mexico. But as we know, nothing is simple with this national team at the moment. First and foremost, Miguel Herrera, another new manager, another new situation for Mexico. It's almost like going into the unknown at the moment, isn't it, for this national team?
Well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily going into the unknown, because the squad that he's expected to deploy against New Zealand has been in practice, and they've had a couple of games under their belt with the same group. So there's been more consistency within this last month than we saw under, you know, four coaches in just a few weeks. Based on the team that Herrera started against Lobos here recently, which actually was exactly the same team that he fielded against Finland in San Diego. I mean, it's the same guys. You've got all 23 of them are Liga MX players. 10 of them are from his club, Club America. He's still expected to play the same 5-3-2 formation. So, you know, he's trying to make it consistent, which is also why we didn't see a lot of the European-based players called in, like, you know, Chicharito and Giovanni Dos Santos, Guardado. A lot of that has to do with consistency, but, you know, also you have to factor in the time change, because the squad is going to have to travel to New Zealand as well. So, you know, traveling from Europe to Mexico, where the altitude in and of itself is already something that the players are going to have to adjust to after playing in Europe, and then having to go and deal with that time change in New Zealand is just too much for a crucial game like this.
Is this very much a case of trying to go with the chemistry opposed to going with the big name stars, so to speak, of this Mexican national team then? That's what he's trying to make, a more conjoined team effort, as opposed to bringing in the individuals to rely on.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And also going back to the formation, you know, it's a 5-3-2, which is, you know, somewhat of a rare system. Chicharito, Dos Santos, Guardado, you know, those guys aren't really used to having to play with that kind of formation. So, you know, Herrera has to, and that's the whole reason that the mainly America-based squad was chosen. Was because these players have had an entire season, if not more, to adjust to El Piojo's very unique playing style. And, you know, from what we've seen, it's been very effective because they sit at the top of the table. So
it's been great in the league, but Club America did stumble in the CONCACAF Champions League against Alajuelense. The last game that I've taken real important note of Club America. Now, Miguel Herrera wasn't on the bench that night, but that was his team. That is a backbone to this Mexico squad at the moment. Do you think that will have an impact? Domestically, this Club America side dominant, but in international tournaments as a club, it's not been so great. Will that impact on the national team?
No, I don't think so. No, they've had too many chances to really practice for this particular game at hand. I don't think that performance is any indication that it's something that we're going to see.
Do you see Kim Herrera adopting an all-out gung-ho style approach to this first leg? Do you think we are going to see a very attacking Mexican side in their style of play?
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of the style that he plays with, isn't it? You know, like I said, he's going in with his 5-3-2 formation. It will definitely adapt and switch according to the flow of the game. But, you know, we're likely to see something more of a 3-5-2 when El Tri is either on the attack or they have possession. It just allows more options. It allows the players to be more creative, create more chances, you know, especially against defensive heavy teams like we're expecting New Zealand to be.
Do you get the feeling from Miguel Herrera that he wants to put this tie to bed straight away? And do you think Mexico have an advantage playing that first leg at home? They can put themselves almost out of touching distance against New Zealand after just one game.
Yeah, I think so, especially because they have that advantage with the altitude. I mean, that's going to be... And New Zealand's squad didn't arrive to Mexico until last night, so they don't really have a whole lot of time to adjust to the altitude. But, you know, these guys have been playing in Azteca, you know, for a long time. Plus, the stadium atmosphere is pretty much unlike anything that I think New Zealand will have experienced before. You know, 110,000 fans are expected to pack the Azteca, and we already know what kind of reputation that place has and what kind of reputation fans within that stadium have, especially during huge games where Mexico plays. So I think, you know, in addition to the very attacking formation with this new squad that has had some time to kind of gel cohesively, there's also those other factors like the altitude and the atmosphere. It's going to be a tough environment for New Zealand. But, you know, New Zealand isn't exactly a bad team. I mean, I think they're expected to really come out heavy in defense. They could cause some problems for Altidore. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
Of course, Mexico were at South Africa. New Zealand were at South Africa in the World Cup and caused a lot of problems for some big teams down there. Do you think there is a chance at all that Mexico could end up underestimating this New Zealand side, or is there going to be so much pressure on them the players realize they just cannot afford to underestimate any team at this moment in time?
Well, I don't think they underestimate them, definitely not. You know, Miguel Herrera, you know, they've had some positive results in the last couple of games, but you know, he even said himself, like, this is not a game that we're going to take lightly. We're going to anticipate that they're going to come out in full force, and you know, there's no margin, no room for error. So you know, no, I don't think they're going to underestimate it. I think they all take it very seriously, and I think they also understand the implications of what happens if, you know, they do end up messing up. That being said, I feel confident that Mexico's got this one in the bag and that they will qualify for the World Cup.
Bold words indeed from you, Kim, there. Just finally, you touched on the fact that there are a number of players that aren't in this Mexico side going into the game. We actually spoke about it a little earlier. No Hernandez, no Dos Santos, no Barrera, no Guardado. Who are going to be the players that you think we need to keep an eye on in terms of who are going to fill in those roles that and maybe make the spotlight completely their own? Is there a chance we're going to have somebody kind of maybe inexperienced coming to the forefront here, or are we going to be looking at the slightly older heads of maybe Cena, or obviously Oribe Peralta will be a big player in this one as well?
No, I was just going to say Oribe Peralta. I think the question right now is, who is Piojo going to pair up top with him? It's either going to be De Nigris from Chivas, who played for Monterrey for a while, or Raul Jimenez, who, as we all know, scored that great bicycle kick against Panama. I think we're going to want to keep our eyes on, well, obviously, a lot of the America-based players that are going to be on the squad. Like I said, there's 10 of those. The last game that Mexico played against Finland, he fielded 7 of those America-based players. I think Juan Carlos Valenzuela is one to keep an eye on. Escoboza from Santos Laguna, I think he'll be one. I know Herrera is still kind of on the fence about who he wants to use in goal, either Moisés Muñoz or Jesús Corona. I think he'll definitely be better off going with Muñoz. You know, going back to that Finland friendly, I think Muñoz had a much better game than Jesús Corona when he was put on in the second half. And even though Mexico was credited with an own goal, no thanks to Juan Carlos Valenzuela, Jesús Corona did play a little bit of a part in that. So I think, you know, you don't want to take those kinds of chances heading into a big game like this.
So you take the form over the experience of Corona from Cruz Azul at this moment then?
Yes, absolutely. The form that this club is used to playing with, which, you know, like I said, in big games like this, consistency and cohesion is going to be one of their most powerful tools here. So, like I said, having that mainly America-based squad being fielded with Oribe Peralta up top, who has been absolutely essential and key in of these scoring, I think you got to go with consistency.
You mentioned obviously this is a very heavily Club America revolved around side at the moment. Manager, the backroom staff that have been brought in as well, and of course the squad itself. Is this likely what we're going to see going into, as long as Mexico make it there, going into Brazil, do you think? Do you think with Herrera being there that it will turn very much into a Club America-based El Tri side?
Well, that's tricky, because if they do that, I mean, it's what's going to happen to Club America, the club, you know? A majority of their strong players aren't going to be available for club, and that's probably going to cause a lot of issues with fans who are club over country. It's really hard to tell. It's hard to say. They said that if they do well during this run and they do qualify, there is a very good chance that Herrera could come in and assume that consistent role throughout the World Cup. But, you know, then there's the question, like I said, what happens to Club America, the club?
Are there a lot of fans that do still take club over country at the moment? I mean, I know Mexico has been in a bad shape at the moment, and Club America obviously playing some fantastic football in Liga MX. But surely national pride would take over slightly, and you'd want. Is it much of a divide between the two kind of sets of fans?
That's a good question that, unfortunately, at this point, I don't know the answer to. Hopefully in the next few months to the next year, when I get to spend more time in Mexico, I'll actually be able to study that and take a look at that, because it is very interesting, especially when you look at Mexico's fans, Mexico as a country, and you see how intense they are. That intensity is mirrored with club, absolutely, but in terms of the divide, that's just something that I can't really speak to.
And on a personal note, Kim, you're obviously a big fan of Mexican football, but US born and bred, if it came down to the US men's national team or El Tri, who would you be gunning for?
I would obviously be gunning for the US men's national team.
Good.
But it's never a bad thing when you've got two great teams that you really enjoy watching and want the best for going at it. It definitely makes for some entertainment.
You've kind of got the Gold Cup kind of covered there, really, haven't you, on both bases? I think you're going to be enjoying that tournament for the next few years, that's for sure. Kim, we hope that you do enjoy the World Cup as well next summer, and we hope that we are seeing El Tri there, although, you know, got to give New Zealand credit if they do put out Miguel Herrera's side in this playoff. But for now, Kim, appreciate you taking the time out to join us here on World Football Daily once again, and we look forward to catching up with you very soon indeed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And actually, Miguel Herrera has just announced his starting 11 via a press conference in Mexico City. He is going to go with Moises Munoz, which is his Club America goalkeeper, over Jesus Corona. Rafa Marquez, we're probably going to expect him to captain the squad again. Maza, Topo, Miguel León, Aguilar, Medina, Peña, Montes, and Oribe Peralta will be paired up front with Raul Jimenez.
So they've gone with the young blood, as you're expecting, in the young Club America striker who scored that important goal as well. I'm sure, as you said, Kim, earlier, this is going to be a very much Club America-based style and side under Miguel Herrera. You heard it here first, the starting lineup for Mexico as they take on New Zealand in their World Cup qualification playoff. Kim, an absolute pleasure breaking the news here for us here on World Football Daily, and we look forward to catching up with you very soon indeed, my man.
Awesome. Thanks.
Cheers, Kim. Thanks so much for joining us. Kim Tate joining us on World Football Daily, talking all things El Tri as they prepare for their playoff fixture against New Zealand and that Club America-based side, the club that is dominating Liga MX and now dominating the heart of the Mexican national team. It's an absolutely bizarre situation that El Tri have got themselves in, going through the CONCACAF hexagonal round, and a very, very peculiar indeed.